Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mason, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, Cathedral, down in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is March 11, 2017, or Dia Dara 13, 2020. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, A Shelter in a Time of Storm. Yahshua, rock and heavenly high, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes afright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Point 5, idolatry. Page 15, we're going to continue where we left off on our last reading. Sin and self. As we near the close of the earth's history, perils and dangers thicken around us, and mere a profession of righteousness will not avail. There must be a living connection with Elohim that we may have spiritual eyesight to discern the wickedness which is in a most artful and secret manner, creeping into our midst through those who make a profession of our faith. The greatest sins are brought in through those who profess to be sanctified and claim that they cannot sin. Yet many of this class are sinning daily and are corrupt in heart and life. Such are self-sufficient and self-righteous, making their own standard of righteousness and utterly failing to meet the Scripture standard. Notwithstanding their high claims, they are strangers to the covenant of promise. It is in the great mercy that Elohim bears with their perversity, and that they are not cut down as cumbers of the ground, but still remain within the possibilities of the forgiveness. For the forbearance of Elohim is continually presumed upon, and his mercy abused. David, in his day, thought that men had exceeded the boundaries of the long-suffering of Elohim, and that he must interfere to vindicate his honor and restrain unrighteousness. 5T 139. Sin. The people of Elohim have been in many respects very faulty. Satan has an accurate knowledge of the sin which he has tempted them to commit, and he presents these in the most exaggerated light, declaring, "But Elohim banished me and my angels from his presence, and yet reward those who have been guilty of the same sin. Thou canst not do this, O Yahweh, in justice. Thy throne will not stand in righteousness and judgment, for justice demands that sentence be pronounced against them." 5T 474. So while the followers of Yahshua have sinned, they have not given themselves up to the control of the evil. They have put away their sins and have sought the Yahweh in the humility and contrition, and the divine advocate pleads in their behalf. He who has been most abused by their ingratitude, who knows their sin and also their repentance, declares, "Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan. I gave my life for thee soul. They are graven upon the palms of my hand." 5T 474. Transformation of character is to be the testimony to the world of the indwelling love of the Yahshua. Yahweh expects his people to show that the redeeming power of grace can work upon a faulty character and cause it to develop in symmetry and abundant fruitfulness. 6T 43. So, but in order for us to fulfill Elohim's purpose, there is a preparatory work to be done. Yahweh bids us empty our hearts of the selfishness, which is the root of the alienation. He longs to pour upon us his Holy Spirit in a rich measure. And he bids us clear the way by the self-renunciation when self is surrendered unto Elohim. Our eyes will be open to see the stumbling stones which our unrighteousness has placed in the way of others. All these Elohim bids us remove, he said. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. James 5:16. Then we may have the assurance that David had when after the confession of his sin he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Psalms 51:12-13. 43. When the grace of Elohim reigns within, the soul will be surrounded with an atmosphere of the faith and courage in Yahshua-like love, an atmosphere invigorating unto the spiritual life of all who inhale it. Then we can go to the camp meeting not merely to receive, but to impart. Everyone who is a partaker of Yahshua's parting love, everyone who has been enlightened by the spirit of the Elohim and converted into the truth will feel that for these precious blessings he owes a debt and to every soul with whom he comes in contact. Those who are humble in the heart, the Yahweh will use to reach souls whom the ordained ministers cannot approach. They will be moved to speak words which reveal the saving grace of the Yahshua. 6T 43. And in blessings others, they will themselves be blessed. Elohim gives us opportunity to impart grace, that he may refill us with an increased grace. Hope and faith will strengthen as the agent for Elohim's works with the talents and facilities that Elohim has provided. He will have a divine agency to work with him. 6T43. Those who would share the benefits of the Savior's mediation should permit nothing to interfere with their duty to perfect holiness and fear the Elohim. For the precious hours, instead of being given to pleasure, to display, or to gain a seeking, it should be devoted to an earnest, prayerful study of the Word of the Truth, the subject of the sanctuary, and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of Elohim. All need a knowledge for themselves of the position and work of their great high priest. Otherwise, it will be impossible for them to exercise the faith which is essential at this time, or to occupy the position which Elohim designs them to fill. Every individual has a soul to save or to lose. Each has a case pending at the bar of the Elohim. Each must meet the great judge face to face. How important then that every mind contemplate often the solemn scene when the judgment shall sit and the book shall be opened. When, with Daniel, every individual must stand in his lot at the end of the days. GC 88, 488. All who have received the light upon these subjects are to bear testimony of the great truth which Elohim has committed unto them. The sanctuary in heaven is the very center of the Yahshua's work in behalf of men. It concerns every soul living upon the earth. It opens to view the plan of the redemption, bringing us down to the very close of time and revealing the triumph issues of the contest between righteousness and sin. It is of the utmost importance that all should thoroughly investigate these subjects and be able to give an answer to everyone that asks them a reason of the hope that is in them. Great Controversy 88 and 488. For the intercession of Yahshua and man's behalf in the sanctuary above is as essential to the plan of salvation as was his death upon the cross. By his death he began that work which after his resurrection he ascended to complete in heaven. We must by faith enter within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered. That's HEB 620. Whatever that HEB stands for. There the light from the cross of Calvary is reflected. Here we may gain clearer insight into the mysteries of the redemption. The salvation of man is accomplished at an infinite expense unto heaven. The sacrifice made is equal to the broadest demands of the broken law of Elohim. Yahshua has opened the way to the Father's throne, and through his mediation, the sincere desire of all who come to him in faith may be presented before Elohim. Great Controversy 88, 489. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. If those who hide and excuse their faults could see how Satan exalts over them, how he taunts Yahshua and holy angels with their course, they would make haste to confess their sins and to put them away. Through defects in the character, Satan works to gain control of the whole mind, and he knows that if these defects are cherished, he will succeed. Therefore, he is constantly seeking to deceive the followers of Yahshua with his fatal sophistry, that it is impossible for them to overcome, but Yahshua pleads in their behalf his wounded hands, his bruised body, and he declares to all who would follow him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." 2 Corinthians 12:9. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy And my burden is light. Matthew 11:29-30. Let none then regard their defects as incurable. Elohim will give grace, faith and grace to overcome them. Great Controversy 88:489. We are now living in the great day of the atonement in the typical service while the high priest is making the atonement for Israel. All were required to afflict their souls by the repentance of sin and humiliation before the Yahweh, lest they be cut off from among the people. In the like manner, all who would have their names retained in the Book of Life should now, in the few remaining days of their probation, afflict their souls before the Elohim by sorrow for sin and true repentance. There must be deep, faithful searching of the heart. The light, frivolous spirit indulged by so many of the professed Christians must be put away. There is earnest warfare before all who would subdue the evil tendency that strive for the mastery. The work of preparation is an individual work. We are not saved in groups, for the purity and devotion of one will not offset the want of these qualities in another. Though all nations are to pass in judgment for Elohim, yet he will examine the case of each individual with his close and certain scrutinies. If there were not another being upon the earth, everyone must be tested and found without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Great Controversy, 88, and page 490. Solemn are the scenes connected with the closing work of the atonement. Momentous are the interests involved therein. For the judgment is now passing in the sanctuary above. For more than 40 years this work has been in progress. Soon none know how soon it will pass to the cases of the living. In the awful presence of the Elohim, our lives are to come up in the review. At this time, above all others, it behooves every soul to heed the Savior's admonition. Watch and pray, for we know not when the time is. Mark 13:33. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3:3. Great Controversy 88:490. When the work of the judgment closes, the destiny of all will have been decided for life or death. Probation is ended a short time before the appearing of the Yahweh in the clouds of heaven. Yahshua in the Revelation, looking forward to that time, declares, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according unto his works shall be. Revelation 22:11-12, Great Controversy 88:491. For the righteous and the wicked will still be living upon the earth in their mortal state. Men will be planting and building, eating and drinking, all unconscious that the final, irrevocable decision has been pronounced in the sanctuary above. Before the flood, after the Noah entered the ark, Elohim shut him in and shut the wicked out. But for 7 days, the people, knowing not that their doom was fixed, continued their careless, pleasure-loving life and mocked the warnings of the impending judgment. So says the Savior, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, Matthew 24:39. Silently unnoticed, as the midnight thief, will come the decisive hour which marks the fixing of every man's destiny, the final withdrawal of the mercy offers unto guilty men, Great Controversy 88:491-2. Watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Mark 13:35-36. Perilous is the condition of those who, growing weary of their watch, turn to the attractions of the world. While the man of business is absorbed in the pursuit of gain, while the pleasure lover is seeking indulgence, while the daughter of fashion is arranging her adornments, it may be in that hour the judge of all the earth will pronounce the sentence. Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Daniel 5:27. Great Controversy 88:491. In this age of the corruption, when our adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, I see the necessity of lifting my voice in the warning, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into the temptation. There are many who possess brilliant talents, who wickedly devote them unto the service of the Satan. What warning can I give unto a people who profess to have come out from the world and to have left its works of darkness, to a people who Elohim has made the repositories of his law, but who, like the pretentious fig tree, flaunt their apparently flourishing branches in the very face of the Almighty, yet bear no fruit to the glory of Elohim? Many of them cherish impure thoughts, unholy imaginations, unsanctified desires, and base passions. Elohim hates the fruit born upon such a tree. Angels pure and holy look upon the course of such with abhorrence, while Satan exalts. Oh, that men and women would consider what is to be gained by transgressing Elohim's law. Under any and every circumstance, transgression is a dishonor unto Elohim and a curse unto man. We must regard it thus, however fair its guise and by whomsoever committed. 5T 146. As Yahshua's ambassador, I entreat you who profess present truth to properly resent any approach unto purity and forsake the society of those who breathe an impure suggestion. Loathe these defiling sins with the most intense hatred. Free from those who would, even in conversation, let the mind run in such a channel. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. 5T 146. As those who practice these defiling sins are steadily increasing in the world, and would intrude themselves into our congregation, I warn you to give no place unto them. Turn from the seducer. Though a professed follower of the Yahshua, he is Satan in the form of a man. He has borrowed the livery of heaven, that he may the better serve his master. He should not for one moment give place unto an impure, covert suggestion, for even this will stain the soul, as impure water defiles the channel through which it passes. As 5T 146. Sin, choose poverty, reproach, and separation from friends or any suffering rather than to defile the soul with sin. Death before dishonor or the transgression of Elohim's law should be the motto of every Christian. As a people professing to be reformers, treasuring the most solemn, purifying truths of the Elohim's word, we must elevate the standard far higher than it is at the present time. Sin and sinners in the congregation must be promptly dealt with, that others may not be contaminated. Truth and purity require that we make more thorough work to cleanse the camp from agents, that those in the reasonable or responsible positions not suffer sin in a brother. Show him that he must either put away his sins or be separated from the congregation. 5T 147. Yet the Adventists today justify retaining sinners in their midst, no matter what. The preachers tell them we're hospitals for the sick and infirm. We bring them in and heal their diseases and clean them up and let somebody else convert them. Now they clean up their sin, become converted before they can ever join the kingdom temple. Okay, let's right now go into a little bit different direction. We'll still deal with idolatry, but we're going to take a little break here and read from Tiny Greetings, Volume 2, number 33 by Viti Hada, and it's entitled The Cleansing of the Sanctuary. And it says, the text is started in Daniel 8, 13, and 14. It says, Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, and of the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, and shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And under this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Came the answer, Under 2,300 days, and shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, within the 2,300 days, the daily shall be taken away, the transgression of desolation set up, the sanctuary, and the host shall be trodden underfoot. After this, the sanctuary is to be cleansed. Every morning margin denotes 24-hour days, full measure of time. The word sacrifice, it says, does not belong in the text. And I wish that they'd never made that statement. That was added by man's word. So let's read that again. Every morning denotes 24-hour days, full measure of time. Alright, let's leave that out, that comment about the word sacrifice does not belong in the text. It certainly does belong in the text. Because Yahshua took the place of the animal sacrifice. And if we don't have a spiritual sacrifice, representing us as a sinner on a daily basis in the heavenly sanctuary. I'm talking about those that has to have the deal with sin yet. In John chapter 2 it says, My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now it says in verse 28, 1 John chapter 2, says, And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Daniel 8, 16, 17, And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Elah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. And he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, when the Bible addresses someone as son of man, it's talking about the prophet that is to understand this command at the time that of its fulfillment. And so when you have someone that has been directed by the Spirit to deal with these prophecies, and he's addressed as a son of man, it's talking about you as the one. And so this is talking directly to me when he says, Son of man, understand the vision. Gabriel's explanation that at the time of the end shall be the vision shows that the paramount importance of the vision is the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it takes place not in the Daniel's time and not before the time of the end, but after the 2,300 days and in the time of the end. So after the time of the end means the probation is closed. In the time of the end, it means that you're in the last parabolic hour, which is the 12th hour that we're in now, and that that's the time for the fulfillment of this vision. Now, since the 2,300 days began somewhere in the 5th century before Yahshua, as seen in the following verses, more preferably 457 B.C. And since the vision was to be for many days, for the time of the end, then obviously the 2300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in the Ezekiel 4:6. For the 2300 days, therefore, are actually 2300 years, and the end of which the sanctuary is cleansed. What signs are to mark the time of the end? Okay, that's a question mark. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Now that was a special book that Daniel was putting this information in for the last days. Even unto the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For the angel explained that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the fact that men are now running to and fro, and that knowledge has been increased in itself, proves that we are now living in the time of the end. Okay, it says that the vision is now to be understood, that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. Daniel 8:18-21. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. Now get this, the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. So there's your timeline prophecy right there at work. Because when the 11th parabolic hour ended, the moment that then struck the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the time, that's your last end. That's the time of this indignation. The last end of this indignation is going to be fulfilled here in the 12th hour. For the realm which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision begins. It begins with the Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in time through the victories of Alexander the Great. Now, we have just begun the antitypical reign of the Medo-Persian Empire with Donald Trump and Michael Pence. Those two horns on that ram, one was higher than the other, represents the two kings of the Medo-Persian Empire, and that would be Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Today, here you see where the prophetic history of this vision begins. It begins with the Medo-Persian Empire. So the fulfillment of this vision in the last day began with the reign of Donald Trump in 2017. Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Let's read that again, Daniel 8:23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So, who are these transgressors that have come to their end? That's just what Donald Trump has defeated Obama and his administration for the last 8 years. That's your transgressors have come to their full. In the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressors, the Jews, are come to the full, another king or kingdom was to stand up. It was, of course, none other than Rome, the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. Greece took over from the Medes and the Persians, brought them to their full. The Medes and the Persians took over from Babylon, brought Babylon to to their full end. Alexander the Great brought the Medes and the Persians to their full end. And now Rome has taken over. And this fourth beast is bringing Alexander and the Greeks to their full end. And the Medes to their full end. Back then. And so now that's in the top. But until the Medes and the Persians are finished, they're just beginning. They're just beginning their kingdom. And they're draining the swamp of Babylon. They're draining Babylon's swamp. Okay, Daniel 8:26-27. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told him is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days after I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation which Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, although the set time for the liberation had come, he graphically said, Daniel 9:1-3, 22-23, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, wherefore the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years, in the desolation of Jerusalem, and I set my face unto the Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding at the beginning of thy supplications. The commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. So because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, Daniel 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision. Then said Gabriel, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Okay, since Gabriel is here explaining the vision of chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days, the 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300 days. Let us now study the subject with the aid of this chart. Of course, you can't see the chart yourself, but I can explain it. The 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Jews, were to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else to be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began. Okay, Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Okay, it says, from the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, to Messiah the prince and to Yahshua, there were to be 7 weeks, 49 years and 62 weeks, 4 years, 69 weeks in all, or 483 years. History shows that the decree to rebuild the ancient city went forth in 457 B.C. Hence, 483 years and 457 B.C. brings us to 27 A.D., to the year Yahshua the Messiah was baptized. This incident, too, proves that the 2300 days are computed a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks are the first block of time from within the 2300 days. Look at the chart. We should now remember that after cutting off the 69 weeks from the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week is told in the verses that follow, Daniel 9:26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be to the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall call the sacrifice and the oblation to see. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Just what will take place during the first 7 weeks or 49 years, I am not prepared to say. But in the end of the next 62 weeks, or 434 years, the Messiah was to be cut off, crucified during the remaining week, the 70th. He was to confirm the covenant with many, and in the midst of it, he was to be cut off, crucified. That is, there were to be 3.5 years from his baptism to the crucifixion. And 3.5 years after the crucifixion, in which he was to confirm the covenant. This completes the 70 weeks and brings us to the time the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. One named Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, and an apostle, were both given a vision. Cornelius was instructed to see Peter, and Peter was commanded to see Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10. The Jews as a nation failed to make an end of sins, and therefore rejected, given up. Now, Yahshua's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3.5 years replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system. And thus he called the sacrifice to cease in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as Gabriel predicted. So it didn't say that Yahshua brought the sacrifice to an end. He just said he took the place of it first, and then he brought the earthly sacrificial system to a close after he replaced it. All this time an event, you see, took place exactly as Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with this added explanation, Daniel still was not able to comprehend all that was in the vision. But as time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, he prayed for the light. His prayer is recorded in the first part of chapter 10, after which he appeared and again explained, Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. That would be Yahshua, the Savior. Daniel was then promised all the light that could be given, not only on the vision of Daniel 8, but on all that is noted in the scripture of the truth. In connection with the vision, that which the angel showed him is recorded in the Daniel 11:12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of Daniel 8, with the kings of the Medo-Persia and Grecia as symbolized by the ram and the he-goat in chapter 8. Then was Daniel told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all. For the vision was sealed to the time of the end, chapter 12. verses 8 and 9. Now this long prophetic history and geography, as seen in the chapters 11 and 12, the angel brings us up to the time of the end and to the time of the cleansing that is to take place. And here is the nature of the cleansing, according to the angel's word, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. By the delivering, the righteous, he thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. He puts the good fish in the vessels and cast out the bad. Matthew 13:48. He shall cleanse his people from sin and sinners. Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The wicked that arise with the righteous and this mixed resurrection are also to be separated from the righteous. The wicked are to be put to shame and everlasting contempt, but the righteous are to be given eternal life. Daniel 12:10. Many will be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall be do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. For the living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked. Daniel 12:11-12. And from the time that the day of sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Here another block of time from within the 2,300 days is introduced, beginning from the time that the daily is abolished and the abomination set up. The daily represents something which should not have been abolished, and the abomination represents something that should not have been set up. The word sacrifice is supplied and does not belong in the text. So here it goes again. The word sacrifice is supplied. The Bible supplied it. When it said Yahshua, before he took away the daily sacrifice, he replaced it by his own sacrifice, and then he took the daily sacrifice away of the animal. It should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing, does not begin until after the 1,335 days, which ended in 1844. We've been about 173 years since 1844. About 173 years. Now, since the 2,300-year period begins in 457 B.C. with the commandment to restore and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the 2,300 days consequently end in 1844, the time that the 1,335 days end, when the days of the blessings began. It should now be remembered that this cleansing of the sanctuary includes the cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing, among the living, Yahweh says, Ezekiel 36:24-29, For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, but increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now of the living, none of the living can actually be cleansed from all their martial sin while among the Gentile nations. You see, they must first be separated from the hypocrites and the Gentiles, then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water, cleansed from all their filthiness and from all their idols. There's your idols right there. When they get to their own land, not before, even a new heart is to be given them there, and a new spirit also. Thus will Yahweh cause them to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments forevermore. Thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their father, Palestine, and thus shall they be with Elohim, the Elohim's people eternally. These things you see are premillennial. Let us now examine the cleansing according to the prophets Joel, Malachi, and Jeremiah. Joel 3:21, For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Yahweh dwelleth in Zion. Malachi 3:1-3, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahweh whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And that's who I represent at this very moment, this messenger of the covenant. Whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, says Yahshua, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fine, like full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-33, Behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be to Elohim, and they shall be my people. Okay, the old covenant has been to keep the commandment, while they are written not on the heart, but on the tables of the stone, against the will of the stony heart. But the new covenant is to cleanse them from their stony hearts, and to write the commandments on their hearts of flesh. Okay, Joel 31:34, And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When the Yahweh people are thus cleansed, they shall all know the Yahweh. Then they shall indeed be his people, his nation. And Yahweh guarantees is this, Jeremiah 31:35-36, Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Yahshua of the host is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Does Yahweh do this because his people have been good, or because he wants to vindicate his name? Let us see. Ezekiel 36:20-24. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy land. When they said unto them, These are the people of Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Plainly, the word declares that the sanctuary is to be cleansed, that the land also is to be reclaimed, and the kingdom restored. I say, and the kingdom restored, not by reason of the people's goodness, but for Elohim's name's sake, for his own goodness sake, the heathen too will know that Elohim has done for his people, for the scripture shows that all this shall take place right before their eyes, the same cleansing Yahshua describes us. Matthew 25:32-34. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you as the foundation of the world. Here is truth that the denomination have overlooked. They think that they are to make a beeline to the throne of the Yahweh for the millennium. But according to the scriptures, here you see the people must first be separated from among the heathen, then cleansed from all their filthiness, and thus being able to stand in the presence of a pure and eternal Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living cleansed, and thus are the people to be fitted to reign with the Yahshua 1,000 years. Brothers, sisters, make sure certain that you be found not among the goats on his left, but with the sheep on his right. If you are to hear the king say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. And remember that we have now been living in the time of the end for some years. Moreover, this light has now come because the cleansing of the living members of the church is at hand. This brings in us to this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Precious Yahweh, take my hand. Precious Yahweh, take my hand. Keep me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I have worn. To the stars, to the night. Lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious John, lead me home. And my way grows dear. Precious John, linger near. My life is almost gone. In my cry, in my call, oh man, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Yahweh.